It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
Welcome back to the Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim Devine Show. Divine's such a great name. I'm sorry.
The seventh different title. I love it. Every week we change the title.
It's Divine Intervention. It's perfect name.
The Shaman.
And we're this holiday week, we're going to come at you here. I want to thank John Masters Bar, who's still hasn't come over here yet, and Perlene Asphalt. And I know you've got some, we got some help.
Whoppers. Hey, we want to reach out and thank Gatta Trucking, Gatta Family, and the Levy Family, Levy Steel, Lee Manios at Franklin Healthcare, DNR Audio, my dear friend Damon LaRiviere. Any of your needs in the sound world, he's your guy. Reach out to us. More than happy to pass on any information. Howland Performance, Lee DiGiacomo, kind of the center wheel of the spoke that we have. Great facility if you need to rent some space, want to throw some BP to your kid, or you just want to come see us and get them better. That's where we do it at.
Yep.
Mike Case and Lauren at Valley Spotlight, they've been great for us.
Love them, always do
teaching us about social media and everything else.
Yep.
And then last but not least, I'm going to remember a couple more at the end. Summit Polymers over in Youngstown, big time sponsor for us, and also the Montrose Auto Group, John Thompson, Mike Thompson, Vinny Maculatus, all big parts of for years of what we've been doing. So subject matter, Tom. We had a good conversation on our way in. Tommy's going to hit me with a question. This one might even roll over to Carl a little bit. So fire away, Thomas.
Carl's got a question for us on their new segment.
Okay, here we go. New segment.
Ask.
The world.
Carl asks.
The world. Yes, Carl asks. The world according to Carl Bloom. Here we go.
There we go. Listen.
What is it? Stump the swami. Stump the swami.
Yeah. But you can't stump on a guy named Nostra Thomas. That's impossible.
Exactly. It'll come to you.
We want to talk about something I think is extremely important, especially in what we do, but what parents do and family does to motivate kids to want to play baseball, softball. We're gonna dwell on that because that's what we do. What it takes now these days with all of the distractions, and there are so many.
Oof.
Between
so much more
video games and a million channels and things. I mean, let's face it, I grew up, we had six channels, or you went out with a pipe wrench and moved your antenna around and maybe got a fuzzy channel 43.
Here's one for the both of you. When was the first time you saw Atari? Pong.
Yeah, I had Pong.
I'm going back. I remember my buddy Matt Verbantic, his dad bought him an Atari. And that was such a huge deal. I think he was the only kid in our school that had it.
And then Intellivision was next. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, Lord. Absolutely.
That was like way ahead of its time. What was that one?
What was the one at Bo Jackson, you couldn't tackle him? What version was that?
Oh, wait, that was... Oh, I know which one. Wait.
Tecmo Bowl?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Tecmo Bowl.
Remember they had talking football? You put the disc in and you picked the defense. It was the same dang thing.
I remember the little handhelds, the basketball, baseball, and football, the little Mattel handhelds. I still have
them. I have the electric one. You line up everybody and go, hey, okay.
Run your plays.
Well, you know, it's just different. So you have to keep – what's the motivation? I know for me, the motivation was –
I always wanted to ask you. I never asked you that. And, we've been friends a long time.
Yeah.
What turned you on to it, being an athlete? What turned you – you know, some people it's parents, some people mine was a little bit, but you fire away. My history, we'll go into mine.
I was 7 years old. 7 years old, sitting the bench for a team called the Giants in what was Gadget, which is now Pee Wee. And
but who made you sign up for that?
Oh, my dad, we weren't getting away with
nothing. There you go. That's all I want to know.
That's not
so we would say,
you didn't
say,
have no decisions
we'd say,
there.
We'd say Big Daddy Shark.
Yeah, you're doing
it. And if anybody's ever met Tom's dad, Tom's dad is Clint Eastwood, Clark Gable, and Arnold Schwarzenegger rolled up into one.
You know, and it's really something because I was sitting the bench, even though my dad was friends with the coach, Mr. Ralph Clear. They worked together at Copperwell. I wasn't playing. Wasn't any good. So I remember having a really, I didn't go to the Dairy Queen. We won the game or whatever, and I go, no, I don't feel like I did anything to go to a Dairy Queen. So my dad, who worked turns, he was a millwright at Copperweld, midnight turn, day turn. He said, how bad do you want to do it? Because I'm not going to go out there and waste my time or your time. I said, I want it bad. So that meant to him, out there till dark, uneven ground hitting me, ground balls off my forehead, while my mom was going, let him come in the house, get back in the house. I mean, everyone's swimming. I'm at a dry ball field. He's throwing balls at me with a cigarette in his mouth, pitching ball after ball at the till my hands had calluses. But I remember finally when I turned 12, it all fell into place. All that work became a reality, and now I was the big guy on the team and enjoyed every single minute of it. So to get to that spot, it took a ton of work. I mean, just a ton. But again, you didn't have a whole lot of options, maybe swimming, or people used to run through the hose. I mean, and you go out and play. I mean, that's all we did. We didn't have anything else to do. You're allowed to sit around the house when I was young. We had to get the heck out.
If you had the early innovation of plastic pools and stuff.
Or wiffle ball. But, you know, the neighborhood would play. So what I wanted to leave you with is the competitive nature of friends is huge here. Because I had some friends that I just kept bucking horns with until I got better. I remember getting taught how to play tennis by my friend Greg Vila. He was killing me. All of a sudden, I finally won one, and then I got to the point where he could never beat me. And you find people like that in your life. He taught me how to play chess. I mean, just surrounding yourself with people that are positives in what you want to accomplish or do. So now I wanted to ask you, because the motivation's different now, and you see it more than anybody else.
I would sit and say there's more of a driven, depends on what the groundwork, for lack of a better term, is. Some people, it's historic. You know, you and I have it, ironically, me having children. My oldest son was, at a very young age, a good ball player. He got genetically from his mom's side of the family. He had a muscular disease, which limited him from being able to carry on. Great tools. My second son, Kyle, run like a deer, throw, played high school, blind as a bat. And no surgery was going to fix that. His mom, you know,
I didn't know that.
That was genetically. He played. He was a pretty decent player. Now, Declan, jury's out. You would think culturally, because I am what I am, but mine with when I, and you've heard me say this, Tommy, Carl, I'll say it in front of you, I would not want to be my child. My stepson, Evan, went through it. He came to me, hey, I want to play. He loved, that's how I first met him. He was a client at our building in Austintown. He'd been with me for a long time, and I went through it with him, but I told him, I said, you know, once you walk in the door with the bat and the glove on, you're not Evan anymore. You're a kid. You know, I treat him well, but it's also.
How about I didn't even know that was your son there that day?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know
Kyle,
that.
Well, you saw Kyle when he was real. You hadn't seen Kyle in years.
He's
I've been blessed, all three.
He was hitting some rockets.
Yeah, they all do well. They all do well. And they're, you know, Evan had the chance to go play in college. He turned it down because he's got, you know, academically, he's a genius, God bless him. Not by any force of mine, that's for sure.
But he played like.
But he was a good high school player.
And that good summers is in the B League. Thing that like Vince is your typical example
of the other
of
way.
Great tools, speed, arm. He was a Trumbull County Player of the Year in basketball. He had a couple bad experiences on some baseball teams.
And he could play. Remember, he came to me when he was young.
He's a player. He was out in center field running down every ball, and he just didn't. It was long games.
Didn't tick his
terrible
clock.
Terrible teams, and that was it. He just dropped it like a hot plate and really broke my heart.
And those are the experiences you run into. I know, You know, somebody asked me the other day, Coach, why did you? And you got to look at the culture of my neighborhood.
That's
very
big.
That's big. You don't see that as much. The competitive nature, like you said, Tommy, that kind of clicked in me. And amazingly, my dad was a good athlete. He was a carpenter. He ended up founding the Carpenters Union in Trumbull, Mahoning County.
Yeah, I used to go watch my dad play.
He'd come and play. He didn't, but he was more a football basketball guy.
Yeah,
he did some baseball, but not much. My whole neighborhood was full of ex minor leaguers, and I look at people that inspired me. Neighborhood thing, the Ladner, Danny Alesia, kid I grew up with. His dad played ball. The Fungies, their dad played professional baseball. When I got to school, going to St. Cyril's, the guys that. You know, the guys that you'd watch, and they'd watch you, and who was the best.
Well, wasn't the bench the greatest motivator back then?
I didn't see it for a long time. I don't think I saw the bench till college.
Don't have that anymore.
No, because it's...
Everybody plays.
And I can remember... You didn't hear from parents. I can remember going through grade school basketball, junior high basketball, where we were state runner-up in the parochial schools. At St. Mary's, Kennedy, forget it. I don't remember one incident of a parent
butting in and saying
going to an administrator and going, "Hey, my kid."
Well, hey, how about Paul Sarsony? He tried to. His mom came to the game, to the practice, and said, "I got to go to work. Paul has to watch his sister." And he has to leave early. And the coach went over. Okay, that's great. When are you turning in your uniform? She goes, no. I just want him just come home early today. Then if he goes home early today, give me the uniform. No. That's how it was.
Back then, it was the beginning of, and Carl would probably sit over behind the control board and shake his head, the amount of single parent has expanded more. So you're dealing with more schedules. You asked me, one of the things that's allowed us to be good in the leadership role is the flexibility of dealing with single parent households, trying to accommodate budgets, you know, 4 or 5 kids, and they're all playing travel softball and travel baseball. The money's astronomical.
It's astronomical.
So we're always trying to find ways to make it easier, cheaper. We even offer travel. You know that. We've said, you've been in on those meetings where I had parents, I can't get him here. Okay, well, what time is he free? You know, and we get, like RJ or people like that, they go get him, and they bring him back. Anything we can do to get him out there. What I try to do within the framework of the building is create the environment that I grew up with athletically, because that's not out there anymore. Community sports, it becomes... Parents in the stands yelling and screaming at umpires, refs, everything like that. That was like an extreme thing. You'd see that once in a blue back when we were kids. Just the lack of respect for people that are taking the time, volunteering or doing it for very, very little money. But it's also presence. You umpire now, and God bless, I love you. And one of the greatest ironies of all time, Tommy wore umps out.
That was bad.
Out. And now, as a grown man, he goes, "Yeah, I was pretty bad on him." But now, but his
it's harder than I thought it was.
But his presence now, I've gone and watched, like had to meet him. You know, we had paperwork had to be signed or checks that had to be handed. You know, I had to, "Hey, I need this." "Okay, great. Hey, can you run and get me a Gatorade?" And I'd run out to, you know, he'd be in Niles or Boardman or Poland or Vienna or wherever he's umpiring. And to see the amount, and that's physical presence. I mean, he's not a small guy. But he knows how to handle himself out there. And I've never heard anybody give him a hard time. There's been a couple guys that we played with that coached that out of familiarity thought they could chirp a little. And that got shot down. But I think that's the difference now is people, because of the terms of social media, where everything's an argument. I mean, that's what we're basing society on now, is like common sense stuff and everybody wants to argue. And the kids see that. And before, you know, I was always brought up that way. I know you were brought up that way. I'm sure Carl was brought up that way. If you were going to yap about something, you better be able to back it up. Now these kids, you know.
And you know what's funny about that, Jim, is my dad made it clear, don't ever come home complaining about a teacher or the coach is playing favorites, you better be way better than that kid. If you're the same, then that's the way it goes. If they're going to pick their favorite or their friend or whatever, be that much better where they can't do anything about it.
You look at a lot of these old school, very, very successful coaches, Nick Saban, our boy at Ohio State.
Ryan Day.
Well, like with him, he's a partaker and a winner through the portal. The portal allows you not to compete. And for you that don't know what the portal is the amount of times you're allowed to transfer once you go to college and the money involved. But you look at that. I remember talking to...
Well, think about it. Isn't that a motivator? Now, think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because guess what? There's a bunch of people making millions of dollars that are never going to make it to the pros in college. That was never like that. You either made it to the pros, you're going home with no money.
You know, we have a kid through the business that I worked with when he was younger. He just got drafted by the Braves last year, and he was in a Power 5 program. And when he transferred, he was at Ohio State, and he transferred to a Power 5 program in the South. The amount of money he got to go, and he was there basically a year. His contract was for 2 because he had 2 years eligibility. Got drafted by the Braves this year. He could have cared less what he got from the Braves because he's already paid. I mean, he got a lot of loot. I'm not going to say how much, but it was a lot. It was life-changing.
Wow.
And the Braves thing, I mean, by standard, I mean, it was decent money, but it wasn't what he got to go to the Power 5 school. And now, if anybody was watching yesterday – now high school kids in Ohio get college. You see the NIL money. So now you got kids in ninth grade gonna get paid for advertising in high school sports. That's ninth crazy. Through 12th grade. But it's just a different environment. And now it becomes about that. You see a lot of parents that, you know, for whatever reason took the route of being academic or being electronic or being musical. And they didn't play sports, but they pushed their kids into sports because they didn't do it. And, you know, and they felt there might have been something left out. You know, and you want to try and get as well balanced a young person, boy or girl, as you can. But now you're seeing a lot of people that didn't play pushing their kids into sports and then trying to dictate policy in a world they have no understanding of. And it creates a lot of controversy. You asked about, I think a lot of it is because we have a format at our place, and you know that. These guys walk in and they watch, and like nobody's fooling around. Nobody's mouthing off. They come to work, and it's definitely
like that.
We set a precedent. I've seen the best in football, and I borrow from football, whether it be football, soccer, you know, field hockey. Anybody that's great at what they do, I watch and see how they implement their discipline.
But it's a given, though. I think what happens is
there's so many places not like that.
Everybody sees the other guy, kids doing it like that, so they're going to do it like that. It's a culture more than anything. You're not actually sitting up there going, "Hey, quit messing around." They just know that's what they need to do.
And I saw last night. I was at the den in the evening. We got done, and there was a junior high, grade school basketball team that came in. And they had three guys coaching them, all highly qualified guys. And it was a community school. I'm not going to get into who. It's three dads, all basketball guys. And they do a great job. And they had a group of kids from this school. And I remember, I'm just watching, seeing if I pick something up. See, you know, I play basketball, seeing how they're teaching it at that level. And the one dad came over to me, he goes, "How do you get these guys to stop fooling around? Every 6 minutes, quit fooling around, let's go. Quit fooling around, let's go." Instead of being on point with what they're doing in the practice, and here's the thing, they win just enough to think they're successful, but then when they get against the program, they've lost a couple times of programs that were better than them, it was programs that there was no fooling around. I knew the schools they were talking about, I knew the coaches. There was no, and I just said, "Man, I said you got to enforce it. If they fool around, it's got to get drastic. You got to do something physically drastic, sprints, ladder drills like we used to do, suicides, you know, wall sits."
That does it for sure.
Basic human psychology. Who would you say, Tom, in your history, was the pivot point that allowed you to see, hey, I'm good at this and I can be better at it, and drove you to the school, drove you to the point college. Who would you say?
Well,
was it a series of people? Was it one person?
I actually am going to tell you right now that it was for recognition and to make my dad happy.
Funny.
I'm not kidding.
And that's, you know what? Here's a good one.
If he was happy, which was rare, then it was a great, I mean, but, you know, my teammates would be happy. We'd go, but if my dad would say very rarely, hey, that was a good hit, you're like, oh my gosh, I just got a compliment. I can't believe it. But really, that was the motivation, other than having people see my name in lights.
I think every great athlete has, anybody that's really, they have some level
and of winning.
Winning.
Not winning. No,
winning,
no, no.
Ego.
Doing well.
Yeah, doing well. And press and everything else, getting in the paper. So I would sit and say, mine, people whispering when you walk by, hey, there's that kid, he's really good.
Oh, yeah, that was a big
deal.
That
was always cool.
Bill Thorne was a guy that polished us up to look like a ball player. Like, you could be down by 20 runs.
I remember those teams, Jay, but you better look the part.
The people that just pull up better not know that you're down by 20.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Never forgot the way he
got. In Trumbull County history, man, he was
whipped the ball around, looked like a ball player. He would just sit there, oh, go to Bristol then. Like, if you did something bad, you were going to Bristol.
Yeah.
There's the bus. You get on the bus and go to Bristol.
I think people, mine, and I, that's probably why you and I, even though we're a little different sometimes personality-wise, have always been such dear friends, as we were both, I've said it my whole life, I was chasing my dad. I have no question. My dad
put all that time
was one of those weird.
I wanted it to.
And
pay
everybody,
off.
You know that. Everybody loved my father. All my friends loved my father. He was a great dude.
Yep.
And I'd be like looking at him like, man, dude, he's brutal. Mine was because my sisters were so gifted, I couldn't be left out, and I was the baby. I say that to this day, chasing my dad. And when I started playing sports, that's how I got his attention. He would come out after dinner. Here, let me throw you a football. Let me throw a bat. That's how I got his attention, and he wasn't paying attention to my sisters. And that goes on subconsciously.
You know, just like me out there playing Nerf hoop with my brother. Heck, we were in our third. I was 30 or something, and I was in my 20s. And my dad came out, ripped the hoop off the wall, and said, "I don't know of any professional sports that play this," and threw it away. Yeah. We just went, "Okay, that's the end of Nerf hoop."
And I'm not saying, we're not saying.
Always thought we should be doing something to make ourselves better.
Right. We're not saying that they were, you know, the be-all, end-all as far as doing it right. But I know with my – and that's – looking at that now, we both had similar deaths.
Or peeling out in the parking lot. I was 35 years old when I popped up and he yelled and
– Chase you to the car.
I'm 30-some years old and he was still doing that crap.
But, yeah, it's, people ask that. And, like, I know we pounded a little bit environment. I'm a big believer in fate. The person that taught me the first time how to play baseball was a female cousin of mine. I was 4 years old. Yep, female. It was a girl. You know, my cousin Josie. God bless her. And she, if you see her out in public, she lives out in Champion, Bristol area. You know, when she runs into people and they go, you know, oh, you're Jim Devine's cousin. She goes, yeah, I taught him to play. She and I've had these clients of mine
too.
Come to me, go, hey, taught him to play.
My granddaughter's name's Josie.
There you go. And I know in Carl's case, Carl said last week on the show, what inspired him was the satisfaction of being able to call into a show and hear your voice. And it's like drugs. It's whatever your motivation is and you find
it. And make a point that somebody gets and then you get a call later. That was a good point, Tom. Or, you know, when I used to call in Verb all the time, we would play this little game. Hey, gel hair guy. You know, blah, blah, blah. But when we get going, people, oh, I heard you. Like, I'll be in the store and say, I heard you on Verb show. Man, that was hilarious. And then you want to make a good point. Some people call just to call and hear their voice and him haul around. If you have something really good to say or you have a good question or you want to make a point that actually, I thought this is the perfect time. And I think Carl has a question for you.
Yeah,
in our new segment,
of the week.
Ask the Coach.
From President Bloom.
All right, so here's my question.
I'm trembling, Carl.
You should be. This is a complicated one.
All right, go ahead, brother.
Okay, so if a pitcher is pitching,
yes,
and then they get hurt during the game and they switch the arms which they're pitching with, are what happens after that? Are they allowed to use both arms to pitch?
You have to declare.
Oh,
you have to declare.
Okay.
Okay. There was a guy named Pat Venditti. If you remember this a couple years ago, Tommy. He was in the A system for a little bit, and then he was in the Yankees system. True ambidextrous pitcher and got to the big leagues. He was up and down. If you any of you want to see it, go on YouTube, look up Pat Venditti. And there was an inning where the guy kept there was a switch hitter against a switch pitcher. And the guy, you know, after, what is it, Tommy? Two strikes, you can't switch.
Exactly. Now that
so the guy didn't have two strikes. He was going back and forth. So he'd go to the right, Venditti would go to the right. Guy jumped to the other side.
The hitter, too.
Yeah, they were both. And finally, they had to call time and call Major League Baseball and go, what do we do here? Because they were just jumping. Nobody was throwing a pitch.
Right.
Wow. The hitter was moving from one box to the
other. And it became this big drawn out, but no, you have to declare in your at-bat.
Interesting.
I think before two strikes, you can switch. Mm-hmm. But once, I think the rule, and anybody out there, you know, DM us, get a hold of me and Tommy, because I'm not sure. Mr. Hirschbeck, if you're listening, feel free to chime in, or because you would know this too. But my understanding is you have to declare.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's a kid that just got drafted out of Mississippi State last year that blows high 90s on both sides.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
He throws 90.
I can't even comb my 90, hair with my left.
He throws 90, but I think it's either Seattle or Oakland drafted him. I think they're going to make him go left. It's kind of like Shohei. Okay. Like, hey, we're going to make you do just this thing.
Oh, wow.
But he blew high 90s on both sides. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen mechanically. I saw him throw a couple times, you know, in the SEC games on TV.
Well, that'll be something for – well, let me get through the Nostradamus and the super picks are doing pretty dang good, people. And these are against the spread. This isn't just picking winners like a – I'm 7-1, so I'm going at it again this week. I'm going to take Tampa in a bounce-back game against Arizona, -3. I'm going to take the Colts, -4 against Texans, another bounce-back game. And I like Washington, I'm going to call them the Redskins, +7 against Denver at home.
I still have a hard time
Denver
with those
names. Denver can't beat me, you, and Carl by more than 7, by 6 points. So that's my picks. And
you've been
let's
on fire.
Keep it roll. I'm on,
been
fire.
On fire. This is only for fun. This is not meant to be
used.
This
is to win money. No, I'm just kidding.
I got you.
And you won't have a gambling problem because we're winning.
Carl, we got anything big coming up on the station? We never had. What's coming up big on the station, Carl?
Oh, we got college football today. We got Oregon taking on Washington at 3, Alabama.
No,
yep, Alabama at Auburn at 7:30, and then we'll take you to Notre Dame at Stanford around 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yep. In the middle of the night.
Yep, it's a late game. And then tomorrow we have 3 NFL games for you. Texans at Colts at noon, Vikings at Seahawks at 4, the Broncos will take on the Commanders at 7:30, and Monday Night Football, the Giants take on the Patriots at 7.
And here's the
thing. I didn't even know that, so thank you for...
Hey, yep, for all you people, Carl could have his own show. He's smooth on the microphone.
Oh, he is.
So he keeps it hidden. Very modest about his skills with the microphone. He's big
time.
Doing
it a long
just
time.
To let you know.
Speaking of smooth, who are our sponsors?
Tommy, let's go.
Let's go. We're going to go John Masters Bar, although he didn't come on the show. I might have to scratch that. Perlene Asphalt, and you have your... And we're going to have a lot more than that as soon as people step up to the plate. And
the Harvey family, Summit Polymers, they've been with us a long time. Now he's, for some reason, because they're such good friends of mine, it's terrible. I skip on them. Our friends at that keep us in the body forms we have, our friends at Red Plum. Lauren and Mike, obviously with Valley. The other things we got going, anybody looking for instruction and want to get a Black Friday gift for their child, call us at 330-766-6790. We have a special. We have 4 spots. Buy a bat and a glove for your student. They get 6 months free instruction. And we're not pumping the prices of the bats or gloves, folks. It's normal cost.
Yeah.
Let me see. DNR Audio, obviously we spoke, Damon LaRiviere, Franklin Healthcare, Lee Manios, Gata Trucking. great people, Levy Steel, and all the clients. If someday I'm going to have to like just take the whole half hour and just write all the names down to come to us and thank them over the air. Or we'll just have a show that we do that. All the little people. And they're not little. They're what make us go. But yes, it's getting to that point in the season. Let us know. Call us. Carl, as always, thank you for putting up with our craziness. You're the man.
I even sent Carl an email thanking him how great he is.
Yes. Recently. Thank you for your email.
If I could email, I would send it to him.
It's a daggone truth, though.
Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Hope you have, obviously this is going to be posted post-Thanksgiving. Be looking for us next week. We're going to have a lot of people home for the holidays. Have some great hosts.
And I'll make sure everybody from my family is listening to the darn show. Pressure is
there you
what
go.
Always works.
There you go. That should be our song. David
Even
Bowie
if they
and
don't
Queen. Hey, everybody, have a great holiday.
Happy Thanksgiving.